Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It is 12:07. You are listening to The Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. My name is Shaletta Brundage. I'm the host of the show. It is 12:08. Lindsey Brown, my producer, is there at the historic WCCO Radio studio, making sure our friends and guests come through clearly and quickly on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Al Shock is in the newsroom bringing you the latest on news and information, and we'll be here for 3 hours. And we are enjoying the snow globe Saturday. I've got my kids here with me in the Cottage Grove studio. They are under blankets reading books. And I've got State Representative Melissa Hortman on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline with me, because I tell you, our state capitol has been as hot as fish grease on Good Friday, and she is going to break down exactly what has been going on, what has happened, and where we are now. Representative Hortman, thank you so much for being here.
Happy to join you.
And you joined me for lunch on Thursday, Black Entrepreneurs Day 2.0, over at ERAT, Ethiopian Restaurant, in St. Paul, right across the street from CHS Field, where the St. Paul Saints play. The DFL House members on Monday were not able to come to Black Entrepreneurs Day at the Capitol because of the stalemate. And although a lot of the business owners who were there spoke with Republican representatives and senators outside and inside their district, they really miss speaking with their DFL representatives. And so several of you, Representative Larry Kraft and Julie Green, met us there at the restaurant for lunch. What were some of those conversations like?
It was really wonderful to connect with folks, because I think the small business owners too, it seemed like across the board, weren't able to make it on Monday. And so we all appreciated having a makeup session so we could still get some Shaletta points in the bank, but also more importantly, connect with each other, right? So I met some wonderful folks who cater and support small businesses with financial services, and learned about Lights On from Sherman Patterson. So it was a really cool group of people. And thank you so much for having a makeup session for those of us who missed it.
Now, you darted out of there quickly. I knew something was going on, but you didn't say anything. Shortly after our lunch on Thursday, you announced a new power sharing agreement that had been reached in the House. What does this entail?
Sure. Well, I'm sure people wonder it, to the extent they thought about it at all. Why was the DFL not there the first 3 weeks? And the reason was the Republicans were threatening not to seat one of our members, a guy named Brad Tabke, won a very close race. He won with a 14-vote advantage. Mm-hmm. He was declared the winner on election night. He won in a recount, and then the Republicans filed a court case, and Brad won the court case. And the judge said, hey, there's no reason not to seat this guy. There's no reason to have a special election. We know how this election came out. And so the only way we could prevent them from throwing them out just to get a do-over on an election that they didn't win was to not go, because they needed us to turn the lights on and get things rolling. So the new agreement says they will seat Tabke, and we're not going to just throw people out willy-nilly. There's going to be a process that you have to go through, and you have to get a true majority vote in order to throw somebody out for their election returns. The other thing that we got that we were seeking, to honor the will of the voters, they sent shared power. They sent 67 Republicans and 67 Democrats. So essentially Minnesota was saying, hey, guys, share, you know, work together, do this as a team. So once we get back to a tie after a special election, we'll go to a power sharing agreement. And in exchange, we gave the Republicans the speakership, and we gave the Republicans one more committee in the list of committees, and then they'll chair that one for the whole 2 years.
Okay, now I have to ask you this. Did you sacrifice your speakership to make sure Representative Tabke was selected, was seated?
You know, sometimes that's the way the cookie crumbles, right? I mean, you took a stand when Amazon and Target walked back from their DEI, and it wasn't easy, I'm sure, because, you know, the funding for your event was probably important to you. But the principles that we stand for are more important than this or that in the moment that we have it. And so, you know, if you don't really stand up for your principles, you got to ask yourself, do you really have those principles? And our principle that we were standing up for was the will of the voters tells us what happens. That means if Republicans win, hey, we're in the back seat, they're driving. If Democrats win, that we accept that. You know, if they give us a tie, that's what we accept. The voters are the boss, and we're not going to manipulate election results for political purposes. So we had to stand up for those principles.
And I have to ask, what bills have the best chance of passing in the House, keeping in mind that all bills are going to need at least one crossover vote to pass?
Yeah, I'm hoping that we'll stay focused on the budget. You know, there's all these areas where Democrats and Republicans don't agree. Choice, gun violence prevention, climate action. But one thing I think we do all agree on is that we want our schools to be operating. We want our roads to be plowed. We want our water treatment plants to provide us with clean water. So if we stay focused on the bread and butter of what government needs to do for Minnesotans and focus on balancing the budget, we should be able to get the work done and get it done on time.
Do you think we will have an extended special session to get everything done?
I hope not. You know, in the years that I've been in the leadership, that hasn't been necessary, because I don't subscribe to this theory that you hold all your cards back and you don't play them until the last minute, trying to seek some advantage by being last minute. I think we just put our cards on the table and start solving the problems right away. You know, we don't postpone it. So my hope is that everybody else will come to the table with a willingness to lay their cards on the table and say, this is where I want to be, because then we can start finding where's the middle ground or where's the common ground.
I think about what is going on at the federal level, and, you know, having a child with special needs who gets services in the school system and, you know, with the county and with the state, you know, the talks about the cuts to some of the federal spending. Are you hearing anything that may affect us here in Minnesota?
Yeah, you know, if some of what Trump is proposing actually goes through the Congress, they would mean devastating cuts here in Minnesota. And they would throw our state budget into a place where I can't imagine how we would balance it. So Minnesota has a $65 billion budget over a 2-year period. And if some of the cuts that the Trump administration is talking about go through, it's like $13 billion a year. So if you take $26 billion chunk out of a $65 billion budget, that's a very large hole for a state to try to come through. And unfortunately, a lot of the places they're talking about cutting the funding are in social service areas where, you know, we take care of people. And the state's not going to leave those people in the lurch. The state's going to have to step up in some way. I hope that, you know, in the same way that these tariffs on Canada and the tariffs on Mexico were put into place and then pulled back, and the federal funds was, you know, cut and then pulled back, that after they think more about the idea of cutting budgets by much, they'll realize that that's not realistic. I think the Republican states will help us out, right? I mean, Alabama has folks who need services from the federal mm-hmm. government, and so does Tennessee and Texas and Florida. And I think those governors and those legislatures being in the right camp will be able to persuade the federal government that the federal government has to move a little bit more slowly if it wants to change things dramatically, so we can all readjust how we rely on each other to take care of people.
There were a lot of legislation passed in the last session. Does any of that look like it may be threatened this session?
Well, I think the most important thing is to look at moving forward. We've got in this current budget period, we have a surplus of $3.7 billion. The Democrats balance the budget, and we're end up with $3.7 billion extra cash on hand, plus a reserve of $3.5 billion. Then in the next 2 years, there's a projected surplus of $1.5 billion. So we're in decent economic shape here for the past 2 years and the next 2 years. It's when you look out at 28 and 29, we've got to be focused on starting to dial back some of our spending in areas that are growing rapidly, or figure out, if we don't want to cut back on that spending, where the revenue is going to come from to pay for it. So my hope is that all of the legislators will look forward at the work that we have to do that affects the future, because if we spend all our time trying to undo things that have been done in the past, I think that will end up being wasted time and energy.
Now, last question for you, because I know you have to run. We're talking to Representative Melissa Hortman here on the Shaletta Show. A power sharing agreement was reached on Thursday this past week. So we have our full House Republicans, as well as members of the DFL, back at the Capitol doing the people's work. You know, we get so much bad news all day long. It's like we're on a boomerang and everything is just so Debbie Downer. And you know me, I'm always looking for the silver lining, always looking for the lemons in the lemonade. Talk to me about what you're most excited about. This is not last session's house. This is something very right. different. You have stepped down from your leadership role. And so this will be a new for you, as well as every member who is in there. But what, if anything, are you looking forward to? What are you most excited about? What do you want to celebrate about this upcoming session?
Two things, really. Is number one is the tie. My whole career, I've thought it would be really neat to have the opportunity to have a complete tie where we have to rely on each other. It's not one party or the other party. It's not mm-hmm. really a power struggle. It's a cooperation thing. But the second thing is we have the most diverse legislature we've ever had. You know, when Donald Trump won in 2016, I became the minority leader in the Minnesota House, and we were looking for silver linings in that election too. And we looked at our caucus. You know, Ilhan Omar was the first Somali American elected to a state legislature in the country. We had an Indigenous People's Caucus. And so this year, our People of Color and Indigenous Caucus is at its record high level. We have the first Black woman Speaker of the House, first Republican woman Speaker of the House. So I think the fact that the state legislature is really starting to look like Minnesota. Mm. And, you know, nothing wrong with white guys, but it's not just a bunch of old white guys anymore. It's a whole bunch of people from a whole bunch mm-hmm. of different backgrounds, different jobs, different life experiences. So I think that helps us make better laws.
Well, I can't thank you for helping me to have a better show, for showing up on Thursday to chat with the business owners. And I know that you are glad to be back at work.
For sure.
What were you, I gotta ask one more question. What were you hearing from your constituents during the time that you were absent from the House? Because I know you all spent a lot more time in district with your neighbors and friends talking to people because you were not at the Capitol. What were some of the things that you were hearing from them?
I think, you know, early on people were like, what's going on? But once they figured out that we were just trying to get a guy seated who won, they were like, you go, girl. I mean, take as long as it takes, but we can't have people overturning elections just because they don't like one or they don't like that their person didn't win. So surprisingly, you know, I guess not surprisingly, Republicans reacted one way. Democrats reacted another way. You know, Republicans, people who are never going to vote for me anyway, were like, go to work. And people who are my supporters were like, hey, you go, girl. We see what you're standing up for, and we agree with you.
All right. Well, I thank you so much for being on the show today. You have a wonderful week. And remember, you always have a platform here if you need to get the word out about anything or let folks know what's going on at the Capitol. And we know we can call on you when needed.
Awesome. I will definitely come back. Thanks for having me.
All right. Representative Melissa Hortman joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. It is 1-1222. We'll be right back.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Some people follow the rules, I break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we talk to the rebels who do things their way. Listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It is 1226. You are listening to News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. It's the Shaletta Show. I'm Shaletta Brundage, host of the show. And Lindsey Brown, my producer, is back at the historic WCCO Radio studio, making sure our guests get in and out on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. We'll have weather coming up here in just a moment. It is snowing out here, still in Cottage Grove, not as heavy as it's been coming down in the Southeast Metro earlier this morning. That snow is tapering off a little bit out here, Lindsey. And I think we probably got about maybe a good 2-2.5 inches. What does it look like there in the Metro?
Yeah, it's about the same 2-3-ish. And the plows were out and going when I was heading into the office. And so I would expect those main roads to be pretty clear by now. But those back roads, you always run to those small little mountains that people make with their own snowblowers. So be careful and leave space.
I know. And you know, I have tickets to go and see Milo tonight at the Children's Theater. You know, that was our little trip today, me and the kids. But, you know, I've got to make sure that we are safe on the roads, and I don't want to cause any more distress for the folks out there, because the roads are slick. You know, they were saying this morning there was some unsafe driving conditions that were impacting the roadways across the state. As you know, weekend commuters attempt to navigate the snowfall, it's created some unsafe driving conditions. They were talking about some crashes reported this morning near 35 and Highway 252, and they're saying MnDOT snow plows were working early this morning, and they're advising vehicles traveling behind them, as always, to stay safe and at least a 10 car distance. So make sure, you know, this is not the time to put the teenagers on the road. Andrew probably, Lindsay, had his car for about 2 hours before he decided to drive in the first snowstorm. And you know, teenagers, you can't tell them anything. Even though Sean is 59 and I'm 53, you know, he's 18. So he knows a lot more than we do. And so at first, big snowfall after he got his new car from Luther Automotive. He got him a little Audi.
Oh, girl. Dang, you hooked him up early.
Yeah. Oh, no, he hooked himself up. He had three jobs.
Even better.
I don't even put gas in his car. Don't pay his insurance or his phone bill. He's a man. Uh-huh. And so we were telling him, you know, giving him the speech, son, slow down, son. Be careful, son. Don't drive too fast. You know, leave a lot of space between you and the car in front of you, son. You know, doing all the son talk. And he was like, yeah, I'm gonna slow down. And so he and Sean left about the same time, because Sean was taking the small kids to school and Andrew was driving to Park High School where he was a student. And Sean said Andrew whipped by him, and before he could turn the corner, Andrew and the pole were dancing. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Andrew and the pole were dancing. And Sean said he just kept going slowly and dropped the kids off at school. And Andrew called and was like, Dad, I had an accident. He was like, yeah, I know. I saw you. I'll be to you in a minute. I was like, yeah, don't rush. Rushing is what got him over there on the pole. So we never did fix the car. Still, I mean, and this car still had the like paper tags. We are really, you gonna learn your lesson type of parents. And so we were, he was like, well, am I gonna fix it? We're like, nope, that's a reminder for you, not to drive, fast in the snow. And so, you know, just a reminder to everybody out there, be careful, be safe. You know, if this can be for you a lazy day where you can just hang out in the house, until the plows get a chance to get out there, clear the roadways, put some salt down, that probably would be ideal, which is why Lindsay and I are in two different locations. So Lindsay, girl, hats off to you. I appreciate you coming in, but I look, it didn't take both of us to be there. So tag, you are it. My kids been playing tag all morning. Tag, Lindsay is it. And tag, you are it. It's 12:31 and we'll be right back with your weather. I tell you what, we had us a good old time do-si-doing, rodeoing, hanging out and talking on Monday at Black Entrepreneurs Day at the Capitol. 411 people registered for this year's third annual event. They came from not just across the metro, but business owners from across the great state of Minnesota to meet with legislators. And I tell you, this year, I didn't even realize, y'all, I got so much faith, I didn't even realize I was in a storm. First, I had to give Amazon their money back because they cut their diversity, equity, and inclusion initiatives. And so that were my sponsorship. And then it snowed. And then the DFL house was not there. And so a lot of the business owners did not have anybody that represented them at the Capitol. And they had already planned to be there. They had closed down their shops and they were coming. And so I had to have a good plan B for them, so that they would be able to meet with folks. And what that meant is that I had to come outside of my comfort zone and talk to people that I had never met before, like Representative John Kosnick. I said, listen, you have been appointed to the chair of the Transportation Finance and Policy Committee. You are going to be here. I know you represent Lakeville, but I really need you to talk to some of these business owners from Brooklyn Park, Brooklyn Center, Woodbury, and South St. Paul. And without hesitation, not only did he say yes, but he also came down to the luncheon that we had at the end of the day and just sat there and laughed and talked with those business owners. And I tell you, my heart was warm and my eyes were full. I did not cry. I almost did, to see the way that our Republican lawmakers overwhelmingly came down and supported the event, supported the business owners, and made them feel welcome in the people's house. So I just had to invite Representative John on the Shaletta Show today. He is joining us courtesy of the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline to tell you thank you for being so kind to my friends.
Well, good afternoon, Shaletta. It was our honor to meet with your business owners, and congratulations on three successful years. My Republican colleagues and I, a couple of us were down there at the time I was, and I know there were some others earlier in the day. And whether they live in Lakeville, they can vote for me or not, our title is a state representative, and we were proud and happy to meet with business owners, black entrepreneurs from all across the state and mostly the metro. I had some great conversations and really enjoyed the event. I wish we could have stayed longer and heard more of their stories, and it's uplifting, and it's something that we need to continue to fulfill, to have Minnesotans that have a dream of entrepreneurship, of opening their own business and being successful and providing for themselves and their families. We need to do more and uplift them to be able to achieve that American dream. As a small business owner myself, I had my own business for 11 years. I can certainly relate. Many of members in our caucus, Representative Don Gilman was there. Her and her family have a very successful small business, but it's growing. They do a bang-out business, doing a dock business. Mm-hmm. And so we can relate with the struggles that small business owners face, and especially it was great to hear from the black entrepreneurs as well and the unique challenges that they have. But you know what? We recognize that small business owners drive the economy across the state and downtown, wherever in Minnesota, and provide jobs, but also a little bit of extra culture that is evident in some of these businesses. And we love that. So thank you for the invitation.
And, you know, it was just so heartwarming because, you know, we Republicans and Democrats disagree on so much, but it seems like everybody was in agreement on the success of these business owners, you know, finding common ground to say, you know, if you got a dollar in a dream, you ought to be able to live out that dream. If you work hard and pay your taxes and do your craft, whatever that is, whether it is accounting or making earrings or designing handbags, and have an equal playing field, have equal access so that you can, you know, grow, so that you can hire more people, so that you can continue expanding and make this, you know, hobby, this passion project, your purpose, as well as is your position in your business. And so, you know, just the fact that you were listening and providing feedback and made yourself available, I think, you know, just watching you work that lunchroom, I'm surprised you got out of there because everybody fell in love with you.
Well, unfortunately, we did have a committee meeting or work group at 1 o'clock, so we did have to leave earlier than I wanted to, but I really wish we could have talked to more of the business owners. But I had some great conversations and things that we needed to hear across the board. It's hard to run a business without a lot of interference. You know, you got to motivate yourself. You got to brand yourself. You got to make sure the quality of your product or service is there. You got to promote it. You got to find customers. You got to execute. And a lot of times government makes it harder. And we have made it harder for small business owners and all business owners of the state, whether it's the increasing taxes, which is there's more coming to that with the paid family leave that is shouldn't be a one size fits all, especially for these small business owners are going to have to deal with that. Sick and safe time, you know, they get up and work no matter what. And if they have an employee that has an issue, small business owners figure it out, and they don't need as much government interfering and telling them how to run their business, because it makes it extremely harder for small business owners to even get into business and achieve their dreams and be successful. And we need to make sure that we are reducing the regulations so that more people can innovate and flourish and enjoy that American dream. And it was uplifting to us. We talked on the way back, you know, how enthusiastic small business owners are. And I hope we can do some work to continue to help them be more successful.
What was, you know, some of the overarching themes that you heard from business owners? Was there one story in particular that stood out to you?
I had a couple good conversations. One was, I think her name was Yolanda and Waylon Peterson.
They have a trucking company out of Peterson and Sons Trucking Company. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I just happened to bump into them and being chair of the transportation committee. You know, he's you know, worked hard, bought his own truck. I think they have two now, and just dealing with the regulations of, you know, that go with it, that make it a lot harder, and he just wants to provide a good service. I think they haul like gravel or aggregate or something.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a small company, and he's doing a wonderful job, and his wife works with him. He's the driver. And they're, you know, we want them to succeed, and we need truck drivers and people in the trades. And you know, if they have the energy and the will to do it on their own, we need to get out of the way and help them provide that service that's needed across the country, no matter what they're trucking. There was another gal that was just starting out, the butter.
Oh, Shea Butter. Yes.
Yeah. The butter rolls, I think they were. And she didn't have any samples, but boy, it was lunchtime, and we did have a nice lunch, but I wanted to try her samples. But, you know, she's really at the beginning stages, has a nice skill and offering that, so she does like a catering business that doesn't have a storefront yet. And she's, you know, she's growing her business and wants to learn how to continue to grow. And we need to make sure that we don't provide more burdens than are necessary for people like her. I don't remember her name, but she had that hoodie on with a picture of her product on there, and it looked awesome. But we need to make sure that we're not putting too many barriers to discourage people from being innovative and creative. And I think we do that too much.
Yeah, I, you know, Yolanda and Waylon Pearson with Pearson and Sons Trucking Company, and I'm sure you heard it too in the lunchroom. You know, as Black business owners, we can't just do our business and then that's it. You know, a lot of us are advocates or activists or have a cause that we're passionate about, and you know, Yolanda and Waylon Pearson with the Pearson and Sons Trucking Company, when I went over to Tubman and found out that they didn't have enough bedding for the families in their homeless shelter, they went around Blaine, which is where they're based, and picked up bedding from all of their neighbors. Their goal was to fill up one of their dump trucks full of bedding and pillows and take it over to Tubman for MLK's Day of Service. And so when we got over there and they unloaded that dump truck filled with comforters and blankets, Representative John, I tell you, the families there were so grateful. And once they did all the inventory and counted it up, they had 671 pieces of bedding for families there. And so that's in addition to the business. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's so amazing. You know, and so we, you know, sometimes business people get looked at, they don't want to pay their fair share of taxes or this or that, but business owners and people contribute more than just what their product is. That's a great example that we're leaders in the community that help support each other and come and show up when other people need help. And that's business owners that do that. And so that's, they didn't share that story with me, but I could tell in their heart how kind and great people that they were. So it was a pleasure to meet them. And man, I wish them much success. And she took my business card, and I'm sure she'll be letting me know how I can continue to help from a legislative standpoint. And you know, Republicans were proud to show up and listen to the needs of business owners and on Black Entrepreneur Day. You did a wonderful job organizing that. So thank you.
Well, thank you for bringing your team down and being a part of this. You know, we're all one Minnesota family, and Monday was proof of that. Representative John Kosnick joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline. Thank you so much for being on the Shaletta Show, and thank you for being so kind and gracious on Monday.
Well, I appreciate the invitation again, and always continue to reach out to us. Encourage all your listeners, you know, get to know who your legislators are. That's the first hurdle and path to advocating for yourself. But again, you know, we're here to help people across the state, no matter what or where they live or who they vote for. And we know there's a lot of work to be done. It's kind of a crazy beginning of session, but Republicans are working from day one. We look forward to working with our Democrat colleagues to get the job done and across the finish line on time and to make life better and more affordable for Minnesotans.
Well, thank you so much. Have you a great and safe weekend if you have to get out on these snow-covered, icy roads. And it is 12:49. We'll be back on The Shaletta Show. It is 12:54. You are listening to The Shaletta Show on News Talk 830 WCCO Radio, your good neighbor station. Now, listen, we have a winter storm warning until 3 o'clock this afternoon for Mille Lacs, Sherburne, Benton, Morrison, Isanti, Kennebec, and Stearns County, where my son Andrew is in St. Cloud at St. Cloud State University. Lindsay, I just mailed him a box of hand warmers and foot warmers to go along with that fur coat he got at the resale shop.
That's right.
I know that there are tunnels and things up on campus, but you know, those kids, they don't think about, okay, let me go through the tunnel. They just walk right outside.
Yeah.
And you know, they don't.
Yeah. And I remember from my experience, Shaletta, I'm not sure how much socializing he's doing at the nighttime, but sometimes you got an outfit and you can't ruin it with a jacket. And so that I have grown out of that logic. My prefrontal cortex has developed.
Yeah.
But those kids down there, they don't have that yet.
No, they don't. You just pass by any high school when it's minus 15 degrees outside. You'll see. See, in elementary school, everybody's dressed up because they still have to follow the rules. They think that, you know, they don't realize that they can talk back as much as they do in high school or make their own decisions. So everybody's got their snow pants on in elementary school. Everybody's got their snow boots. You get up to the junior high school level, rounds about seventh grade. And that is when the kids start to, you know, do a little bit more pushback on the layers and the gloves. One of Andrew's friends, in fact, came by the house the other day because we put Andrew's car outside as we brought the stuff back in for Black Entrepreneurs Day and started, you know, just kind of organizing for next year and putting things back. And so I was like, well, pull Andrew's car outside. And, you know, we'll have room in the garage to, you know, just kind of organize things and get them all squared away and before we put them up for 2026. And little boy knocked on the door and it had to be like minus five outside, feels like temperature. And he had no coat on, no gloves and slides. Hey, is Andrew here? I thought the child was homeless. I brought him in here and offered him something to eat. He was like, no, I go to Park High School. I just saw Andrew's car and I thought I'd stop by and say hi to him. I swear to you, I brought the boy in the house like he was homeless. I'm like, honey, come in, have a seat. Would you like some chicken strips or something? You want to warm up? He was like, no, ma'am, I'm fine.
Slides? At least
slides.
Put some sneakers
No coat. I probably didn't even have an undershirt on. So the young person's blood must have a space heater on it because it stays warm. Hey, let me tell you what's hot. It's hot. I'm telling you, it's hot. We got 2 hours left of the Shaletta Show, so y'all stick around.